ways to maintain neutrality, is that the word you use?
Yeah.
In daily life, when difficult situations arise?
It's an ongoing chronic thing.
Ongoing chronic things, yeah. Well, yeah, one of the things, I'm going to turn this down off because I'm having a little bit of trouble. One of the reasons that we meditate is to develop equanimity, non-reactivity, not non-caringness, not indifference, but a state of mind where those compulsive emotional reactions to things don't keep pushing up and getting in the way of our being able to see and understand and treat situations rationally. So that is one of the things that comes from meditation. By developing a strong meditation practice, as your concentration improves and as you develop some degree of insight, this equanimity develops naturally as a part of that. So a sort of cursory answer is develop a really strong meditation practice and equanimity will come. But I feel like you're asking, is there something more immediate that you can do?
I have difficulty meditating in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
I have medical issues. I fall asleep.
Yes.
Instead.
Mm-hmm. So when you try to do sitting practice, you tend to fall asleep.
Yes.
You know, you can meditate while walking, and really everyone who takes up meditation practice, what they need to learn to do is to do the same things that you would do in a formal sitting practice as a part of your daily life. Learning to stabilize your attention so that your mind's not constantly jumping all over the place. And most especially learning to be able to just be present with what's happening. To see what's right in front of you without projecting a lot of other stuff onto it. And that really is, that is the way to experience that kind of equanimity or neutrality you asked about in your daily life, is to remove the tendency of your mind to project all of its own stuff onto what is arising in the moment. So you see exactly that's what's happening. So the question is, well, how do you do this? How do you learn to do this? How do you train your mind? Because the process that I'm speaking of happens instantaneously. As a matter of fact, the things that are arising, there's no gap between the arising of the things and your mind's projections onto it that are involved with your emotional reaction. So really, you have to be able to see through them while they're actually arising, while it's actually happening. As far as meditating goes, I would encourage you to try meditating as a walking meditation practice rather than sitting. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you'll have a problem with falling asleep in sitting. So if you walk slowly, and then you can just, the number one thing is to try to be fully present, just completely in the here and now. And an important part of that is to keep an eye on your own mind, so to speak. To be aware of what's happening so that you can catch it when some thoughts are taking you into the past or the future or someplace else. You see? So that is the essence of the practice, is to find a place where you can walk slowly and quietly and undisturbed and just practice being completely present with the process of walking and the sensations that are arising. And when your mind presents thoughts that are to do with where you are and what you're doing in the present, allow those thoughts to be there. When your mind tries to take you somewhere else, then bring yourself back into the present and use your body as the anchor. Because the bodily sensations, you know, they're constantly changing. And each sensation only exists for an instant. Then it's gone, and then there's another one, and there's another one. And so, if you remain aware of the sensations of walking, sensations in the soles of your feet, the sensations in your legs, and the muscles as they contract and relax, and so forth, to the degree that you are aware of those, you have to be in the present, because those sensations are just constantly changing, changing, changing. So use that as your anchor to bring you back into the present. And just be fully present. Whenever you feel you're being taken out of the present, use those sensations to bring you back. Stay there. Okay? Have you had any... You say you fall asleep when you're sitting. Have you had instruction in sitting meditation practice, and have you tried that before?
Yes.
You have? What kind of meditation practice was that?
It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the breath oriented.
So it was watching your breath or following
Yes.
your breath? Okay. You see, this can be very similar. It's following... Instead of following the sensations of breathing, it's following the sensations of walking. And all of the, you might like to become refreshed on all of the other things that are involved with meditation, but all the things that you can recall from the instruction you might have had in the past would apply to doing walking meditation in this way. It's exactly the same, except the posture is different, you're upright, and the object is different. It's the act of walking rather than the act of breathing. But absolutely everything else in the meditation is the same there. Now, you'll probably see, if you think about it a little bit, a certain similarity between what you want to accomplish and this meditation process. What you want to accomplish in the situations that happen in your life is to be genuinely present with what's actually happened, and not be carried off into some artificial space of your mind determined by your emotions or your expectations or your fears or, you know, all of these other. So you see, it's a very parallel sort of thing. So you train yourself to remain in the present moment and be with what's happening as part of your meditation practice. As you become more skilled at this, then you can say to yourself, I can do this in life situations. And remember to start with the easiest ones. Well, I can start with them all, but have the expectation that you're going to really succeed in the easy ones. Don't take the ones that are the big challenge and make that the only time you try to do this. It's all of those different situations during the day. And you realize, when you apply some mindful awareness to it, and you realize, I'm not really being present. I'm not really experiencing clarity as to what's happening in this present moment. And let me do that, and let me learn to do that. So if you can learn to do that while you're eating, if you can learn to do that while you're doing ordinary activities of daily life, then that becomes an extension of meditation practice. And it will extend into, and it will become something that you'll be able to do much more easily when you're confronted with emotionally more difficult situations.
Thank you.
You are welcome. And so try that and come back and tell me how it goes. And I'll ask some more questions and I'll give you some more answers, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Recently, I have been feeling bored while I'm meditating, although I'm meditating in the usual way that I do. Daily, for about 45 minutes to 50 minutes. And suddenly, in the last month or so, there's just this sense of being bored, even though I'm air of my breath, sitting. I wonder if you could speak to that feeling of being bored.
Yeah, and when you're meditating, you're, are you finding that you, just in general about your meditation, that you're not having a lot of distracting thoughts? And
not that many, really. I mean, I'm aware of them. Every now and then something really pops up.
Okay.
Normally it's just kind of this radio in the background, but this sense of,
So... This is something that happens, and it usually, you know, earlier on you were probably more involved with trying to recognize when your mind had drifted off and bring it back. You were probably feeling satisfied when you were successful at that and when the meditation was going better. And now, meditation is going better, and there's not that much, and now some part of your mind is saying, okay, we need something more interesting and exciting. This is getting old.
Yeah,
I mean,
part of me is, why shouldn't be feeling this?
Right. Well, this is, you're on a threshold here. You're on a threshold. We want to meditate so we have the opportunity to come to understand our mind and the nature of the mind and how it works in a deeper way. And initially that's very, very hard to do because our mind is completely filled with all of the noisy activity of ordinary life, you know, all of our concerns and worries and plans and everything else. Right? So you're on the threshold now that you have a greater degree of quietness, calmness in your mind, of being able to do that. But you haven't yet quite tasted and discovered how wonderful it is when you really start to pay attention to the mind itself and start to come to understand it and see how it's working. So what you need to do, that feeling of restlessness, okay? It's a feeling. Where does it come from? The mind, right? It's created by the mind. The same way a thought is created by the mind or a memory is created by the mind. It's in exactly the same category. It's another one of these things that the mind creates. It's a feeling. So, what you want to do is not identify with it. Oh, here I am trying to meditate, but I'm feeling restless. Yeah. And I say, okay, here I am meditating. What's happening? Oh, restlessness is arising. Oh yes, restlessness. What is this restlessness anyway? Let me have a look at it. Does it have a feeling that manifests in the body? Where does it come from? Letting you know about restlessness. And you don't, I'm not encouraging you to get into an analytical kind of process about it. But open yourself to saying, this is the mind. This experience I'm having, this is the mind. And this is coming from the mind. So let's not treat it as some undesirable foreign object. It's what I wanted to examine. And here it is, presenting itself and inviting me to have a look at it. Okay? So, but, you know, it's very normal to be experiencing what you're experiencing. And, you know, it also has its roots in desire. Because we seek stimulation and satisfaction in many different forms. And if we have a pain, we seek satisfaction, which manifests as desiring the pain to be gone. And if we have in mind the idea of some pleasure, then the desire manifests as wanting to hold on to that pleasure and having more of it. When we experience more neutral spaces, then what arises then is the desire for something to come up, for something to happen, for some excitement, for some interest. And so if you look, when you start looking at this, one of the things that you're going to find is, what is restlessness? Well, it's actually a kind of desire. Okay? So just let it unfold there. Okay? And I hope your meditation becomes more interesting as a result of it.
Would you just add on to that a little bit, a kind of desire?
That restlessness is a kind of desire? Restlessness and boredom? Yes. Well, first of all, though, is there a sense in which you don't understand that, or it doesn't agree with your experience?
Well, I just can't, when you say that, I just can't explain what you're, how you're referencing.
Well, what does restlessness feel like?
Well, you can't just settle down.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do something else, you want to...
Wanting to do something else. Because if you do something else, you're what?
To feel better, I guess, or
something. Yeah. Wanting to feel better. Yeah, that's right. Wanting to experience some sort of pleasure or satisfaction. Wanting to think about something that's interesting, because if you think about that interesting thing, it will give you some sort of pleasure. There are not very many moments in our lives that aren't dominated by one form of desire or another. You know? So, and you really want to discover the truth of that by looking into these things. Looking into restlessness when it comes up. Another form of restlessness is just, if you're sitting still, it becomes a little bit uncomfortable. And so part of restlessness is wanting to move so that you'd be more comfortable. So restlessness, impatience, things like this, these are all somewhat subtler manifestation than, when we think of greed and lust and hatred and all these other things. Subtler though they are, they're exactly the same. Any other questions or thoughts? Yes.
Well, you just said something that was pretty interesting. You just said there are very few moments in our lives that are not beset by desires or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how incredibly true that is. And so many of those desires are so extraordinarily subtle. But nevertheless, we are captive of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that if one reaches a state of state of the absence of desires,
mm-hmm.
that is real peace. That's real equanimity. I can just imagine it. I mean, I've been there,
mm-hmm.
but we live life, and our minds are always manufacturing all sorts of mm-hmm. desires. But that's pretty profound to just climb into that space and imagine what that would be to be in the absence of desires.
Right. When there's no desire, there's fulfillment, contentment, serenity. You're completely filled with the lack of a need for anything else, which if you don't need anything else, want anything else, that means everything's perfect the way it is.
Total contentment.
So it has the flavor of perfection, sublime perfection of the total absence of desire, that's what the word nirvana means. Or there's many different definitions of nirvana, and over 2,500 years, it's of course been developed in a variety of different ways. But in the very early usage of the term nirvana, it's equated with the complete and total cessation of desire, and is also spoken of as being the highest bliss. And it is something that we've all come close enough to, that if we think about it, then we say, oh yeah, that's that perfect, complete, utter fulfillment, satisfaction. And that's what the Four Noble Truths is about. Recognizing that our lives are fulfilled, our lives will be fulfilled. That's not what I was going to say. Our lives are filled with this discontent in all of its different forms. And that when we look into it, we see that the cause of this discontent is craving for things to be different than the way we are. And then we're invited to experiment with letting go of craving, and we discover every time we do that, then the suffering and discontent that we were experiencing disappears in that moment, if only for that moment. And so this allows us to see and understand and appreciate the third truth, which is that if we can accomplish the complete and total cessation of craving, that then we will experience that perfect, blissful happiness at all times. And that is nirvana.
I can almost imagine flying into that space, and almost as if. Mm-hmm. Is that a valid way to cultivate an internal state of no grasping, no aversion? Which I think is what we're talking about.
Yes, it is. When you say climbing into it, imagining it. In order to imagine it, what you're doing is drawing upon your past experiences where you've touched upon that, where you've come close to it. And so, in your imagination, you draw that to you. Now, the interesting thing is, whenever we imagine something, our brains, our minds, do enter into a state very similar to when we had those experiences that we're drawing upon. So this is a good way to train your mind, to train your brain. And what you're really doing in that moment is you're letting go of all of your attachments, and you're letting go of all of your non-equanimous rejection of what you don't like and grasping after what you do like. And then you're experiencing the taste of that. And that's a very good thing to do. It's a very good thing to practice doing. That's under all kinds of circumstances. I think it's just about time that we begin our sitting practice.